You told me a story yesterday.
I did tell a story.
Well, you can tell it again. This is the story of when you and one or two others found a nice comfortable dugout for the night.
Yeah, it was. It was in the March Offensive, 1918, the offensive before our offensive. And we were down on the roadway. We'd been stopped by an officer. I think that was the occasion that the troops were inspected by him. And we had to stay by the roadside for the night. We'd settled down, or the majority did, and I drifted off into a field and saw a dugout, so I fetched my three pals, and we decided we'd spend the night there, which was fair enough. But we woke up rather late in the morning, about 9 o'clock, I can imagine. So I said, well, we'd better go over and see the cook. And Ollie Carson said to me, are we too late for our breakfast? He looked up at me with a bit of surprise, and he said, breakfast? Am I time to make breakfast yet? Why not? He said, where the hell have you been during the night? I walked off over the field under the edge, and I looked down at her. And a nice little dugout too it was. We're nice and comfortable. He said, good Lord, our ass man, do you know what had happened? I said, no. So I thought they so quiet, I couldn't care less. He said, well, during the night, we've had to retire about 20 kilometres. And this place here has been surrounded by Jerry, and they've taken control. But we've had to drive them back. So he said, in other words, you've been behind the German lines all night. Well, that's something we didn't know, so that was just as well. But it was John, like, he didn't report us to anybody at all.
That was Paddy, was it?
Paddy. But if we'd reported us, well, we might have had a low headstone out there as well. Are you going to support, though?
Jerry, would that have been?
There would have been somewhere around the Yarmouth area, you know.
Yarmouth,
on the Somme, anyway, it's on the Somme. It would be just around about that area. Ambience at that time, but not in the frontline area. It'd be north of that. But like I said before, you see, keeping a diary wasn't the boom in those days like it is today. I mean, nearly everybody got a diary, but then, one thing, we couldn't get a diary, and secondly, the names of the places weren't there, so we wouldn't know where we'd been or where we'd not been. And in all probability, they might have changed the names of towns around for security purposes.
Oh, yeah.
Just after that, the sergeant wanted to say something rude to me. Hey, mate, I said, we'd been doing prisoners the other day. I wish you goodness we had been. We should have lost you.
Well, you don't talk to me like that.
He was a windy blighter. He was afraid that he'd be caught as well. I'd love to have seen him on the 27th of May. Oh, God. I bet he had 50,000 fits all in one. It's funny, though, these big men are generally the big cars. At the same time, he threatened to report us because we stood there looking at airplanes having a proper air fight. We were enjoying the scene in those days. I mean, very few aircraft, but we used to get a fight there and there again. Of course, that was something we wanted. And then to see the German, not the English one, of course, to see the German come out in a British parachute, great thrill that was. He was frightened that he was going to get machine gunned or something else, and to cover his windiness, he threatened to report us. Next morning, we were supposed to go in front of the commanding officer. But just before that, they called for volunteers for the front line, and up we went quick. Our squad was always the first team. Trouble was, we belonged to the A company, you see. Mm. And my name's starting off with a B, Andrew's with an A, and then Ellis with an E. We were first out of the hat every jolly time. The hat, as a matter of fact, was a handsome one. We were always first out.